All right, game three today, Giants and the Diamondbacks, and they use an opener. We're going to forget about that. Jake Junis is going to pitch today, and interesting, Dre Jameson, 2-0 this year, and he was awful in the minor leagues, 25 years old, out of Ball State, goes for the Diamondbacks. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Okay, a little under the weather, but good day to watch football and baseball, so all good.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't get involved with Scott Alexander today. I went right to Jake Junis in my preview. I said, I can't.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't worry about the opener. I just can't do it.
No, I mean, you know, you're going to throw him out there for one inning, and then what, the game now? Now the game starts after that? I mean, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. No, I couldn't do that. The preview is Jake Junis. I'll tell you one guy, Bruce, who is good is this Jarrell Cotton. And I don't know if you – yeah, that changeup. You know, I'm trying to think of change – and Bill, I think, mentioned Doug Jones. Remember him with the changeup?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
And how about Mario Soto?
Yeah, I was just going to say. He threw very hard, but he had a great changeup, which made it a tremendous combination for the Reds back then.
Yeah, so I think maybe he's got a shot here because the changeup is that good, and he can bring it, you know, in the low 90s. He's not going to throw 99. But the changeup is an effective pitch because it gets you off balance, and it gets these guys out of that big swing.
Yeah, I mean, we're very familiar with it around here, you know, thanks to Tim Lincecum and Webb.
Right.
You know, they've
right.
Great changeups, and I think back to Andy Messersmith, now we're talking about this. But a wonderful pitch, especially now in the high-velocity era. If you have it's one thing to have a slider at relatively the same velocity, but if you throw it all of a sudden, you lose 10 miles an hour, and it looks like a strike, and then it drops off the table, that's just a fantastic weapon.
Yeah, I think he's got a shot. I'm glad to see him, and I want to see more of him. Now, that's a guy I'd like to see more of. The other one is Longoria. Bruce, we may be seeing the end of his career. And Susan brought it up yesterday. He looks like a manager, doesn't he? Doesn't he sort of have that?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That comportment when you look at him and hear him?
No question about it. It's funny, too, because there are times when he'll make a play at third or he'll, you know, time a pitch perfectly with that beautiful, elegant swing of his. He's so relaxed in every aspect of the game. And you think, well, you know, we're going to get more of this guy, but it reaches a point where his body is not cooperating. And I don't know what he has in mind. He's probably looking at the end. And who knows? You know, I can't imagine the Giants are looking at him to be playing third base all season next year. And that's when you have to start thinking about what you do afterward. I agree. I haven't heard it mentioned specifically that he wants to manage, but you know, the young guys lean toward his leadership and his knowledge. I think pretty much everything he says, you know, it counts, makes sense. He's just
exactly.
One of those guys. And when you look at his career, he was one of the great players in the American League, Tampa Bay, without question. And he'll look back on that, and I think history will look back on him as a very, very fine player.
Yep, I agree. But, you know, he's going to give advice. What's someone going to say? Nah, I don't think your advice is right. What do you know? You know?
Yeah, well, but he'll probably get some of that, too, but not from anybody with a head on the shoulders.
No, or they want to keep their head on their shoulders. And, yeah, very good. Yeah, I like Longoria, and I think it's been nice having him here. I'm sorry that it couldn't have been better because of the injuries, but I think we got to see a very, very fine major league player. I think we really did. I think that was good stuff. You know, Posey now is an owner, and I don't know if we've talked about it enough, but I like the idea. I like it. He's like a Theo Epstein. He just loves baseball, and I think whatever he wants to do, whatever he's going to say, people have to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what percentage of of the money he's going to make as an owner. I don't really care. I want to know how much percentage his word
right.
Carries weight in the meetings. To me, I want him right up front. I mean, he just was in the league, you know, last year. He knows the league. He just knows the game. He's a smart guy. I want his advice on every veteran, especially player I'm looking into. Just in general, you know, you have to tap into a guy like that, his knowledge and perspective.
Yeah, I hope he does, and I think people will listen to him, and I think he's going to have a very important role on the board of directors.
I hope so. Yeah,
and as I learned in law school, directors must direct. You can't be a figurehead on a board of directors, or else you get sued. So directors must direct. I always remember that phrase from law school.
You don't want it to be on the board of, you know, key grips.
No, you know, you don't even want to be akimbo here. You don't want that at all. We had a good discussion about the memorabilia at the double play and all that stuff. The double play was a great place to go. I went there for lunch all the time. Tim Reardon and I would go there, and you know, other people who are connected with baseball. What a loss to have that turned down.
I'm just completely crushed over that. I can't say I was a regular. I lived down here on the coast, and not a convenient place to visit, you know, by any means. But, you know, once you got there, you wanted to spend the rest of the day, look at the walls. The food was great. There was an old feeling that, you know, let's go to a ball game at Seal Stadium when we're done here. You know, it was right there, you know, and they just put, it just puts you in that mood. You know, the Giants have an awfully great tradition in San Francisco, you know, even in the years when they weren't winning titles. But before that, Seal Stadium was such an institution, and it wasn't just baseball in there. There was 49ers and all Warriors and all kinds of stuff that meticulously collected over the years, and only one fire and it's gone. It's so devastating.
Yeah, a double play at 15th and Bryant. Very, very, very important place to enjoy baseball. And I went there many times. I remember meeting the old PCL players there when they still were around. Dino Ristelli. I remember meeting him and Rugger Arizoa. I think that was, you know. So that was, it's a good part of San Francisco. So I'm glad that we could mention it. I'm glad we can do that. And then there was a retirement announcement this week. David Price said this is it for him. He's going to be a big part of what happens with the Dodgers here if he can pull it together in the playoff, because Dustin May, Bruce, is now out. He's got trouble, and they put him, I think, on the injured list today. But David Price has had a nice career in baseball, and he seems to be a likable guy.
I think, I guess that depends. I don't think Dennis Eckersley feels that way after.
No, that's true. Get into it with him.
I think you got to catch him at the right moment. But yeah, he's been around too long to, you know, have been some kind of, you know, negative that you don't want in the big league clubhouse. And, you know, big left-hander, good stuff. He's had a lot of success in the postseason. He's had some notable failures as well, but, you know, with the Dodgers, it's been one after another. You know, Kershaw goes out for this, and Gonsolin, and now Dustin May. Needless to say, Walker Buehler. I mean, he's going to figure for sure. I mean, you know, they're going to come up against some big time left handed hitters in the postseason, and he's you know, you talk about, you know, Matt Olson and Schwarber, and, you know, who knows? I mean, it's just you got to have the good lefty. I don't know if he's going to. He might even get a start or middle relief. I don't think he'll be part of their closer by committee option now that they've sort of dispatched Kimbrel from that. But he'll definitely figure for sure.
Yeah, and you're right. So folks, remember Dennis Eckersley, of course, the broadcaster, and David Price said to him, "What do you know? You don't know what you're talking about." And of course, Eckersley, being a Hall of Famer, seemed to know what he was talking about, and that was. That was the big issue. So, yeah, that's the one mark on David Price over his career. Yeah, he should have just, as they say, kept it quiet at that point.
Yeah, he went after the wrong guy there. Better pitcher, better everything.
Absolutely. I don't know, did you see the A's? They've announced their Hall of Fame for next year already. I like it. I like they're doing that. It's kind of like the Wall of Fame for the Giants. And it's Gene Tennis, Carney Lansford, and Roy Steele, and an old athletic, Bob Johnson. I like the fact the A's are doing that. Good for them.
Yeah, Bob Johnson. That's interesting. But Roy Steele is the name that jumps out to me. You know, we'll sort out the players as we will, and Lord knows they'll have a tremendous collection of players for that. But Roy Steele's got to be in there. You know, that guy, you can just hear his voice, can't you? The voice of God. 49 or at Raider games and A's games, and he's one of the real institutions. You know, I got to get Steve Vucinic and Mickey Morabito up there too for my money. But I could just go on and on. Ray Fosse, but that's going to be terrific.
Yeah, glad to see it. You know, that's Gene Tennis, of course, and Carney going in as well. And I'll tell you this about Roy Steele: he was a heck of a softball player.
Really?
believe it or not, I played in the 50 and over league in Contra Costa, and Roy and Chester, remember Chester Farrow? Chester brought me out there, and I guess I pitched, or I don't know what I did. But Roy was the second baseman, and Chester called him Coach, and he was a heck of a player. He knew how to play.
Yeah, that, I don't know. That makes sense. I mean, you certainly don't have to be a good ball player to handle the PA, but there are times when the tone and the timing of what you say, you know, reflects your knowledge of the game. And you can't blurt out some nonsense out of nowhere that shows that maybe you don't really know and your career's not going to be last very long. But, yeah, that's good to know. I hear you hit for the cycle once, Marty. Is that true?
The bicycle. I think that was it. I needed that after running around the bases. It was fun. It was fun out there. But Roy was a special guy. And he always told the Charlie Finley stories. You know, Finley terrorized everybody. And, of course, Roy was the PA announcer. And when Finley would fly into town, they'd call the press box from the airport and warn everybody that Finley was coming in. And then he would
it was like a storm.
Yeah, he'd come in and scream at people. And there was, I guess, an organist, an organ player who he drove crazy. You know, screaming. So, but Roy was the steady one, and maybe the greatest nickname ever for a PA announcer, the voice of God. How about that? That's good.
Yeah, so perfect. Who came up with that originally? Was that John Miller? I don't know, but it certainly really fit the man. John Ramsey in L.A. was that way, but there was something about Roy that was a little bit more booming. John Miller always said that John Ramsey always sounded like he had indigestion. Maury Wills. I almost drove off the road one time hearing John Miller imitate John Ramsey. It was so funny, but because I grew up with that. But people around here grew up with Roy Steele, and you know we had the best.
Yep, absolutely. Let's just look quickly at the Triple Crown here. Bogaerts 315. This is in the American League, and we're following Judge here. Bogaerts 315, Bruce. Judge is at 314, and Arise is at 313. He's sort of hanging in there. Home runs, Judge has put that away, 60.
Yeah.
And Alvarez has got 37. Trout's got 36. RBIs, I'd say Judge has put it away, 128.
Yeah.
Ramirez, 117. And Tucker, 103. So I think he's obviously he's only a 1,000th of a percentage point out of the batting title. I'd love to see it.
Well, it'd be really terrific. He's such a good guy, and you know, you see his reaction to everything—the success, the failures, the Yankees' wins and losses. He's just a rock solid human being. I'm going with Arias in that. He's only two back of Bogaerts, and he's a real smart hitter. And you know, the Twins are out of it. He does have some power, but I think he's going to go for the batting title. And he's one of these guys. There aren't many of them. Who have a real knack for the off-field hit, hit them where they ain't sort of guy, and I think he might steal it.
Yeah, boy, that's going to be that's one fun to watch down in the next 10 days. Now, in the National League, we were following Goldschmidt, but I think he's in trouble here. Freddie Freeman, 328, Goldschmidt, 319, then the Jeff McNeil, 318. But in home runs, let's see, where
Schwarber.
Is Goldie? Yeah, Schwarber's
got 40.
He's got 40, so yeah. Goldie's in trouble there. And RBIs, Alonso had a big day yesterday, I think a big home run. He's got 123 now, and Goldie has 112, so I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see that happening.
No, I don't see any of the three, really. I mean, Freeman is 328 to 319, and Freeman's just a machine. You know, you can imagine him holding on to that. Alonso's running away with it. I thought that he might. And Schwarber, God, that guy just, what a savage attack that guy lays on you. 40 homers and no stopping him. So Goldschmidt's five behind him. But it's I'm sure the Cardinals fans, you know, don't mind. I mean, the Goldschmidt's given them everything that they want. He's totally relevant in all three categories, and that in itself is pretty rare.
Yeah, and then the other one was runs scored. I just happened to look at this today, and I thought I wanted to mention it to you. Judge has scored 125 runs, 30 more than Altuve, who's got 95.
Wow. Jeez.
And how about that for the
spread? That's really impressive, because he doesn't run particularly well. I mean, a lot of the guys that run scored are guys that will, you know, take the extra base, stolen base, whatever. But he just gets on base, and he's got a real good team behind him. They've been in a little bit of slump lately, but they're, you know, they're the Cardinals. And that's a wonderful stat. Amazing, really.
Boy, I just got a nice text from our good friend Rick Smith. And Rick says, I'll read it because it's about the double play. Bob Bushyhead and I had lunch with Joe DiMaggio at the double play. Tony Salvador, you know Tony, was there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And came over to our table and introduced himself to Joe, not wanting to miss the chance. And Rick says, a big loss of the double play. Big loss.
Oh, yeah. You think of all the great North Beach characters, you know, that have passed through there, you know, PCL guys, and of course, you know, DiMaggio is just, I had one chance, I think I mentioned it, to have a little chat with him, and I kind of froze. Didn't know, there was nothing I could say that would seem appropriate as I come out of nowhere, you know.
How did that come about?
I was in the dugout the night Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record. I was in Baltimore. Those are the days when the Chronicle sent us columnists to big events that weren't local, and I was sitting in the dugout before the game, and DiMaggio was in there, and there was nobody else. It was just me and Jolt and Joe.
Wow.
He's about 6 feet away from me, and I could have just sort of edged over there and made some small talk, but I just kind of pondered what I might say and came up with nothing. Chatty. I was a chatty companion.
That's funny. I had that experience with Ray Boone and Mickey Vernon. You know, it was fun going to All-Star games and events like that because you'd run into people like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you could do it. But that's a good one, Joe DiMaggio. I never met him. Never met him. I don't think I ever saw him, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he was not a visible character. He put himself out there, you know, looking for accolades and all that sort of thing. He was just the opposite of that.
Yeah. Well, this last week of baseball is going to be fun. I mean, the Philly situation with San Diego and Milwaukee. And every time Philly has trouble down the stretch, Bruce, you think of 1964, six and a half game lead with 11 to go, and they lost. And they lost. So if Philly loses this somehow, you'll never hear the end of it.
No. I mean, you remember even the particulars of the Phillies. Even if you weren't in Philadelphia, they Gene Mauch was basically going with two guys. The only guys he trusted were Chris Short and Jim Bunning, and they're pitching like basically all the time, and they completely stopped hitting, and oh my goodness, it's just an epic collapse. I don't see that happening with this team, but it's like you always say. I mean, you just can't say that they're going to hold on. You can't say that in baseball.
No.
They could just completely fold. You know, Noah could come up with a sore arm, or you know, Schwarber gets hurt, or Veerling, or Real Muto. I mean, they look so good, but they also look pretty vulnerable at times. So, put me down for them holding on, but hopefully they don't resurrect the bitter memories of '64.
No. Believe me, it'll be written about quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this is a good one, but you know, with COVID the last couple of years, players have fallen apart here at the end. You know, there's a lot of players going on the injured list at the end, so maybe there's a residual effect to that, but we'll see. And then you got the Seattle business. Toronto and Tampa Bay, they play every day anyway. They might as well play in the playoffs. And then the Orioles are lurking there. That's a good one for the last 10 days.
Yeah, that's we don't really have much left. I mean, the only division race is the Braves being a game and a half behind the Mets. And the wild card race, the American League is it's still in doubt. I mean, the Orioles are they took a tough one last night. They had Houston up. They were up 9-7 in the ninth.
Four
and
in the ninth. Yeah.
Yeah, that was rough. But Seattle got a much-needed win. They got a couple big hits from Cal Raleigh with Julio Rodriguez and Suarez out. That's a four-game difference, I think. And that's going to be tough, but, again, could happen. And the National League wild card is going to be great. Milwaukee, you know, I don't think either one of us is that thrilled with them. But, you know, it's because we both agree they don't hit. But, you know, Hunter Renfroe hits number 26 and 27, and Rowdy Tellez hits number 33, something like
they
that.
They hit home runs.
Yeah, they hit home runs. And sometimes, you know, when Burns is pitching, that's enough, which was the case last night. So they're within range. That's gonna be good to the end.
Yeah, big start for Freddie Peralta today, who's had the bad shoulder. They're bringing him back, allegedly. today. So we'll see what happens there. Yelich scored 95 runs this year. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. He's someone that sort of fell off the cliff. We followed him, but 95 runs for Yelich. We'll leave it at that. Good comeback for him. All right, today's date, Wade Boggs. Bruce, very quickly, first to do it. On today's date, he gets 200 hits and 100 walks, four consecutive seasons. Just think about that for a second.
Oh, my goodness. And in those four seasons, his lowest batting average was .357.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and the highest was .368. He had 240 hits one of those years. He had one streak of 7 years in a row where he hit at least .325, and three of them were in the .360s. I mean, you look at these numbers, they almost don't even seem real. You know, they're up there with Tony Gwynn and Rod Carew, and in some cases, it's more like Ty Cobb or Rogers Hornsby. I mean, this guy was an absolute hitting machine, and should definitely be remembered. You know, I mean, he had a tremendous career. He was a guy who he didn't have much power, and he didn't run that well, and wasn't any kind of a prospect. But he kept hitting like .340 in the minors, and the Red Sox finally said, "Well, we got to take a look at this guy." And Carney Lansford got hurt. They put him at third near the end of the season. He looked great. They wind up trading Lansford to the A's, and Boggs has the job for 10 years. So quite a memorable character.
Wow, very good. I forgot that he had hit that high in averages. That's incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. All right. Be well today. Enjoy the day. And we'll look forward to next weekend. There'll be a lot to talk about. So take care, Bruce.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure having him on. Next up is an author. His name is Paul Aaron, A-R-O-N, and the book is 10 Books That Changed Baseball. Not the best 10 baseball books ever, but the 10 Books That Changed Baseball. Really very well done. All right, Paul Aaron coming up next right here on the Sports Leader.